radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant.
Bullpen has been so good all year, but tonight, Tampa Bay sending 17 men to the plate the last two innings and scoring 9 runs. Caballero bidding for more, and that is a home run. 2-run home run for Caballero, and that makes it 14-3. Tampa Bay pouring it on here. This is turning into a Bucks-Texans game.
Now to quote the great Ron Burgundy, this escalated quickly.
That's some fake news. It wasn't 14-3. It was 13-3. Todd Callis and Jeff Blum of the Space City Home Network on the call of last night's 13-3 Astros. Loss to the Rays. 4-game winning streak snapped. Rays actually playing good, so you don't get too upset about it. They've won 8 of 9, starting with taking 2 of 3 against the Astros in Tampa just a little bit ago. So, listen, now you're on to the next game. Now you're on to tonight against the Rays. You got to bounce back. You got to get another dub. You got to take down this red-hot baseball team. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Got to get down on Friday, May 30th of 2025. Holy crap, the last show of the month of May. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, as you heard from Mr. Voice Guy himself. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN975. And guess what? It is also an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Yeah, baby. You can ask me any question, and I'll figure a way to work it into the show. And I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of drifting around, given that we are at Drift here in the Heights. How about that? Love this spot. It's a fantastic spot if you are an LSU fan. This is, I think, the official LSU alumni spot in H-Town. This is the place you want to go to watch games. There's TVs everywhere. It's a very festive environment, just up my alley, you know? It's a little islandy. Love that kind of thing. So, yeah, the Astros lost. I have two concerns coming out of the loss. Number one, it's this. The fill-in starters that they're going to have to rely on, like Ryan Gusto, are going to have nights like this. How many nights like this are they going to have? Because it took Ryan Gusto a while to get through the 3 2/3 innings that he threw. I think 85 pitches in total. You know, the Astros are waiting for Christian Javier and Luis Garcia and J.P. France. You have to wait for J.P. France now because of all the injuries that you're dealing with. So with all of those things in mind, you got to look at them and say, hey, are they going to be able to rely on a Ryan Gusto? Are they going to be able to rely on a Colton Gordon? Are they going to be able to rely on a Brandon Walter? Are there other guys that they're going to be forced to rely on along the way? There's going to be nights like this from Ryan Gusto. And when the offense is not as explosive as it has been over the course of the past month, where they do rank towards the top of baseball in a lot of interesting categories, at least going into last night, they have a 123 WRC plus, which apparently means weighted runs plus in May, which is the second highest in baseball. Fifth best OPS with 775. Best batting average. Best on base percentage. So there's a lot of things that are going on for them offensively. But okay, there's going to be some nights where they don't have it. And the starting pitching is stringing it together with rubber bands and duct tape and things like that. And then on top of that, number two, my second concern about the Astros the rest of this way is that, all right, are you going to be able to rely on the bullpen pitching at the level that they've been pitching at for much of this season? They have the second best bullpen ERA in the majors. And then last night, the Rays smacked them around for 11 runs. That is what you call bad. Brian King, who's been really good of late, 5 hits against just 7 batters in the 7th inning. And this was right after the Astros had rallied from down 3-0 to make it a 3-3 game. So those are just two concerns that I have. Not freaking out about any of it. There were some positives in a 13-3 loss last night. Jeremy Peña had 2 hits, including a double. Cam Smith had 2 hits, including a double himself. Yiner Diaz, 2 hits, too. Jose Altuve went yard. And Cesar Salazar, who is not a pitcher, looked good. I mean, look, that was cool, huh? 9th inning, Cesar Salazar, who is not a pitcher, 7 pitches for strikes out of 11. 1-2-3. What? What's going on? Maybe the Rays took it easy on him. But there's some positives in last night's game. Really, going forward, now you wonder this, because I hope we'll figure it out over the next couple of days. Is this good news or is this no news? Yordan Alvarez, who has been out since May 3rd with a muscle strain in his right hand or right hand inflammation, that's what ESPN called it in a write-up about Yordan, is really close to returning. Yordan took batting practice yesterday off of a pitching machine. He will face live pitching today, 50 pitches against probably minor league guys, which means that he's not going to need a rehab assignment. Per Joe Espada, quote, "This is the best I've seen him, and this is the best he's felt." So really good news. And Yordan, through his interpreter, had this to say, quote, "I felt good. Now I just have to wait to see how the hand reacts to the hitting, so hopefully I can return soon. It's been a little bit frustrating being on the IL because of my hand. This is not a secret how difficult it is for a hitter to be dealing with hand pain. I've played hurt before, but obviously now with inflammation, it's a little bit different. This is something delicate. I could have returned before, but as soon as we saw the hand and how it reacted because of the inflammation, that's why it's been a little bit more time than I anticipated." Well, I thought it was a muscle strain. Now we're hearing it's inflammation. This is on brand from the Astros. I guess a muscle strain technically is inflammation, but I mean, they just set themselves up as an easy target when it comes to the way that they talk about what their players are going through from an injury perspective, time in and time out. So I guess we could be seeing Yordan Alvarez soon, and I guess Christian Walker's okay. So some good news for the Astros. Walker didn't play, but he could have last night. So there you go. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Get this, everybody. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question, and I will work it into the show. You can do it at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's also how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Let's take a look. Let's take a look here from the 337. This guy, I guess, doesn't like Todd Callis. Nice to hear Todd Callis not yelling there. Well, yeah, I would hope that he wouldn't be yelling about a home run by the Rays to put them up 13-3. From the 832, what do we have here? Have an Appletini for me, Paul. What am I, JD from Scrubs? Eagle! From the 281, Paul, could you date a girl that has bigger feet than you? From the 281. I mean, those would be some gunboats. Not to say that I have the biggest feet. I know for an Irish person, I've got a pretty big feet. I think I'm the tallest person in my dad's side of the family. At all 5'11.5". I don't think I really think about feet as much as other people do. You know, I saw last night after the Knicks beat the Pacers, I think it was Charles Barkley who saw Karl Anthony Towns wearing some Crocs with the dogs out. He complimented his feet. He said they look good. I don't know what good feet look like. Don't really look at feet ever. All I know is my feet look like they've been beaten by hammers because all my toes are like jagged and such. So there you go. 713-780-3776 to call it to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. The Twitch is saying that the camera angle is making me look like I'm either sitting on the floor or that I'm playing Battleship right now. I can see that definitely. Listen, we're here at Drift. We're going to be hanging out all afternoon. Not the prettiest day, so, I mean, come on out here. Have a few drinks. Say hi to the cats on the way in. I love that there's cats out on the porch here. It's the most cat-friendly bar in all of Houston, and I'm a big fan of that. Cat Dad, extraordinaire that I am. So if you want to jump in on an Ask Alon Anything Friday, you know how to do it. Up next, Lance McCullers is back in the news for another story that has to do with the threats that his family received a few weeks ago. The latest on that next, Paul Gallant Show at Drift Bar in the Heights. Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We're hanging out at Drift Bar in the Heights. Sun is coming out. I now am at the top of this table, and I look like the coolest man alive. I look like a DJ. I'm just going to stand up. Anyway, file on in. We're going to be here all afternoon. First me, then the Killer Bees. This is a fantastic spot, everybody. If you've never been to Drift in the Heights, you're missing out. Many a Friday or Saturday night, I have stumbled my way upon this fair establishment. They got arcade games here. It's open Wednesday through Sunday. There's a comedy show Wednesdays. There's karaoke. There's Thursday Singo Bingo. Live music on Sundays. Frozen drinks. A wraparound patio. It's where the Southern Coast meets a true Texas ice house. So we are here this afternoon. Anyway, Lance McCullers, we have an update as far as the threats that were made against his family. Per the Associated Press and Christy Reakin, who covers the Astros and Texans and Rockets for the Associated Press here in town, Lance McCullers hired security after the threats against his family that Joe Espada was so incensed about after that game where Lance got shelled by the Cincinnati Reds a couple of weeks ago. From the article, soon after Lance McCullers' family received online death threats, his five-year-old daughter overheard his wife talking on the phone about it, and she asked him this question. This, I mean, is a terrible thing to have to explain to your kids. Daddy, what is threats? Who wants to hurt us? Who wants to hurt me? I mean, brutal. And, you know, with a story like this, I imagine it's pretty tough to hide your kids from finding out about it, even if they're young, you know? I mean, whether it's just day-to-day at home, because kids get older and older. I'm not a parent, but as kids get older and older, they're definitely smarter and smarter. They hear more things. They ask more questions about things. So, I mean, if you're just privately talking about this, a husband and wife talking about it, that's going to be difficult to hide. You know, you almost have to spell it spell out the words. I know with my godson, there's certain food items that you have to spell out, because if he hears it, he goes crazy. So there's that. And then, of course, you know, these kids are going to school, and you're going to school, and you're probably talking to other kids who might have heard a thing or two from their parents talking about something like this. It's just a high profile thing. So that's brutal that Lance has had that conversation with his kid. And he's hired security as well. Clearly, he was freaked out by this. I do believe that a lot of threats made online are hollow, but I've also received them, and lots of people get them that are low profile, like me, or high profile, like Lance McCullers. He's one of two major league pitchers who have received online death threats this month. The other one, with the Boston Red Sox, a 36-year-old reliever by the name And all of a sudden, of course, you know, this is where the internet decides to crap out for just a moment in time. But you've also seen it happen with Liam Hendricks, a 36-year-old. He had battled non-Hodgkin lymphoma. He said on Instagram he and his wife received death threats after a loss to the Mets. What is up with people getting mad about interleague losses? Like, of all losses. It's not even a playoff game. He added people left comments saying that they wished he would have died from cancer, among other abusive comments. He said enough is enough. At some point, everyone just like sucking up and dealing with it isn't accomplishing anything. We pass along to security. We pass along to whoever we need to, but nothing ends up happening. And it happens again the next night, and at some point, someone has to make a stand. It's one of those things where the more eyes we get on it, the more voices we get talking about it. Hopefully, it can get pushed in the right direction. A lot of people believe that gambling is directly linked to this. I just find it amazing that people are as comfortable as they are saying the things that they say online. And I get that there's a lot of anonymous accounts out there, burner accounts that are out there so that people can, I guess, get their bleeps and giggles off online by trolling. But, I mean, you're taking it to this extreme. You're a psychopath. You really are. And it does happen. I mean, as someone who has dealt with it myself, I've definitely dealt with it less than major league pitchers. But, you know, you have an off night in an 162-game season. The fact that people are freaking out about it blows my mind. So I feel bad for Lance McCullers because right now he has 24-hour security for them. Jim Crane is paying for it from the sound of things. He feels it was necessary. I mean, I would too. You bring something like this up with the Houston Police Department, and nothing against the police department. I imagine that there are higher priorities that they are thinking about, like actual life and death situations, murders, etc. It's a huge city that we live in, so this is probably on the back burner, even if we are talking about a high-profile citizen, a famous citizen, a rich citizen, you know? So, yeah, like you put in a report with the police, but are they going to do anything about it? How can they find it? Do they have the technology to find out who was sending this in? Is this something that even is taking place in the city of Houston? Is it someone that's making these comments from outside of their jurisdiction, from outside of the state? I mean, there's a lot of things at play here. So, yeah, if I were a player, it would piss me off that there's nothing that can be done about it. And it does suck that you have to suck it up. And I get it. People are going to say, oh, well, you're making millions and millions of dollars. And okay, fine. But, I mean, would you want to have that if you were in their shoes? No, you wouldn't. You'd want something done about it. And this is really all they can do. Is hire security or just file a complaint with Major League Baseball security or with police. That sucks. That's really all I got to say on that. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Oh, we got a couple of interesting questions. From the 832, Paul, some people are just losers anyway. What's your go-to date place? Ooh, that is a good question. So there's been a couple of places that I really enjoy taking people to. I'm a big fan of going downtown Houston, and I get it, it's not the best downtown that there is, but I'm a big fan of going to one place and having the ability to walk to other places right afterwards. So there's a couple of spots in downtown that I like to start off at. There's this little food court place. I honestly forget the name of it. But the last time that I was in downtown, I think we started at this little snack place. Then we went to Frank's and got some pizza. We went to McIntyre's. And then we went to Clark's. And if you've never been to Clark's, Clark's is just this weird-ass place. And the first time you go in it, it's just fun to walk around it. So that is the go-to date spot. I enjoy downtown. There's some other places as well that I like to go to. But if you're looking to just do more than go to a place and grab a drink, especially if there's a little chemistry on that first date, that's what I do. So try it out. I got to figure out the name of the place that I went to originally. But there's this little food court that's in downtown Houston. It's got some good spots. Some good spots. We are at a good spot right now. We're at Drift in the Heights on this Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You know how to work it in to the program. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. Uh-oh. There's a guy in Houston sports who's not doing his job. Should we be freaking out about it? We'll tell you what that is on the other side. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant.
Texans OTAs, the second media available practice, wrapped up this afternoon. And guys, we might have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Yeah, I did it. Because yet again, after not doing his job Wednesday at Texans OTAs, C.J. Stroud, again, is shirking his responsibilities as leader of the Houston Texans because he did not throw any footballs today. Can you believe it? I mean, what are we even paying this guy for, huh? Absolutely ridiculous. C.J. Stroud? Well, guess what? I'm not proud of C.J. Stroud. Hey, C.J., you got a job to do, and it's called playing quarterback. And you know what a quarterback's supposed to do? He's supposed to throw passes. Unbelievable. Not throwing today at OTAs. But on a serious note, that doesn't matter. OTAs are so dumb. Gosh. This time of year, I'm going to continue to bring this up as much as I can. OTAs, I think, could be so much more valuable than they actually are. And I understand that there is going to be a walkthrough element for the Texans at these OTA practices as they try to install a new offense with a new offensive coordinator in Nick Caley, who spoke today, and with a new offensive line coach in Cole Popovich, and, of course, with a lot of new offensive linemen and a lot of new wide receivers. There's going to be a lot of walking through for these practices. Great, fine, but once you get past that, don't you want to work on things that are a little bit more advanced? And this is something that the NFL collectively bargained away back in, what was it, 2010, 2011? The offseason's changed. There's less practices. There's less hitting. And I think ultimately that there has been a direct correlation between the less hitting that takes place during the offseason and the decline in offensive line play across the league. I think offensive lines are worse and worse, and obviously you saw it firsthand here with the Texans, but between a college game that has made things a lot easier for these guys, with all these spread offenses and stuff, and on top of that, a league with a limited offseason, a lot of offensive linemen, I think, are coming into the league, and it's an uphill battle from the start, and it's very difficult for guys to, I think, actually make any progress uphill to be a good player for a few years. I mean, offensive line development's huge, and this season the Texans are going to be relying an awful lot on it. I like D'Amico Ryans as a head coach when it comes to development, but I don't know what to make of Cole Popovich as an offensive line coach, and the Texans' track record of developing offensive linemen is pretty bad. I mean, outside of Titus Howard, name a guy who has been a successful in-house find over the last 10 years. I mean, it's been a while. We're going all the way back to Brandon Brooks and Ben Jones drafting those guys. So that's my frustration with the OTAs. But, hey, we did hear from some Houston Texans players. And can you believe the agenda out there against Azeez Al-Shaair after his unnecessary roughness? It was unnecessary, and it was roughness. I don't think it was dirty. His hit with Trevor Lawrence when he was sliding. I mean, all the slander against Azeez Al-Shaair. Listen to this man talk. Tell me that this person would ever think to go and decapitate someone like he was accused of doing.
I didn't have my father in my life, so I genuinely struggled to deal with male figures and taking like authority in that way. So I think as I figured that out on my own and, you know, going to therapy and dealing with my own issues as a young player, especially like with me and D'Amico. That's how our relationship was just always like headbutting until it got to that point where you realize, like, why is this person talking to me like this? Why? What are they trying to relay to me? And you kind of just able to process all those things and then come up with that solution to realize this person's trying to help me. Their message is just being relayed this certain way, not taking it so personal. And then as I figured that out for myself, you know, and I became more of a leader in my own right, I just made sure that I carried that same message that I felt to the people around me, because, like I said, everybody is different, and I have no clue sometimes. You know, you go to work, you know, a guy might have just lost, you know, his child, or maybe something happened at home, because we all go through things. So I think it just challenged me to be more considerate and more mindful of other people. Because I was thinking about how I felt.
That, my friends, right there, that is perspective. The man sees a therapist, and you people, you dirty, dirty Jacksonville people with your mullets and your Jeeps. Yeah, that's right. I'm slandering Jeep people. Listen, Jeep weekend, Jeep topless weekend at Crystal Beach. All Jeep drivers out there, I'm sorry. You are guilty by association of being low-key trash. Yeah, that's right, Sean Mapes back in Mission Control. And guess what? All you Jacksonville mullet-wearing Jeep people, okay? This man sees a therapist. Do you? Do you? You accusing Aziz Alshayer of being a bad, bad man? Excuse you. When's the last time you went to therapy? I went to therapy recently. It was fun. I went on a rant. I don't even remember about what. It was just a complete rant for about 10 minutes or so. And I think, honestly, maybe my therapist, he likes me coming back because he gets a private show. No, not like that. This is not OnlyFans, which I'm considering creating for myself. May as well. You know, it's 2025. Papa's got to eat. So does my kitty cat. But, yeah, I feel like every now and then my therapist is just tuning in for a show. But I do see a therapist. Does that make me better than you? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. But it makes Aziz Alshayer better than Jacksonvillians. Is that what you call him? Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. We had some follow-up questions. Paul, what's that date spot that you were just talking about? The place that I start off is called the, what's it called again? The Finn. It sounds so fancy and cheesy. It's not. It's a nice place to get things started. A question on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. If you were good enough to be drafted into both baseball and the NFL, which sport would you choose? I mean, football in a heartbeat. First off, I'm scared of baseballs. I've brought this up before. This is what happens when your high school hit pitching coach is a former major leaguer who once held a major league record, who may or may not have had a few drinks before every single practice and regularly throws it at your head. That's a true story. I got hit in the head by colliding with outfielders, by having pitchers throw at my head in practice, and with this one drill where my coach, not the one who I think was drinking, where another coach told me, hey, Paul, and everybody else in the outfield, spin around in a circle, and then I'm going to throw this ball up in the air. You have to spin around in the circle, then you have to find it in the Florida sun and catch it. And I caught it, all right. I caught it right in the eye. Had a black eye for like a week or so. Remember my first line when I came to school the next day? Because I had really leaned into how terrible that You Got Served movie is. And there was a South Park episode about it, too. So I was just constantly saying, like, you got served, son. And I sadly said, with a sheepish, sad look in my eyes, I got served. Because I did. I got served with baseball to the eyeball. That black eye sucked. Nothing worse than having a black eye, which I've had. I had multiple black eyes in high school. One was from that, and the other one was from fighting someone who is. I tried to fight someone who was 9 inches taller than me. As you can guess, that went poorly. That went very poorly. He hit me in the back of the head in the middle of a basketball game, so I got in his face about it, and I swung at him. I don't even think I connected with his neck, and then boom, one fist, right to the eye. Down goes Gallant. Down goes Gallant. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call. It's a text. Texans are at OTAs if you want to weigh in on that. The Astros have another game against the Rays tonight, and Lance McCullers felt the need to hire security after those threats against his family. Another question. Do you ever, Paul, sneak dates late night into studio to flex that you're a famous voice of Houston sports? No, I do not. I do know people who have done that. I will not share their names, but I do know people who have done that. I have not. Not at the old station, not at the Seattle station, and not at this station. I am paranoid that there are cameras everywhere, don't you see? Also, I don't know. I like to – this is something I actually do not talk about that often, believe it or not. I am very uncomfortable with my friends who do this all the time to embarrass me. Like they'll say, like, hey, did you know Paul's a famous radio host? And they do this all the time. I hate it. I actually hate it. I think it's very cool to be recognized in public, but I don't like to brag about it, if that makes any sense, which is crazy because I know I sound like an egomaniac on the air, but I think once the show's off, once the microphone's off, and once the lights are off, I'm just a normal guy. Just an average, humble guy. To a degree. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ask London Anything Friday. Knicks Pacers is still ongoing. But that's not the biggest story coming out of last night. There is a man in sports media who I think might be doing things the right way. A way that I should be also doing myself. And yet, I don't know that I want to go about things this way. You'll hear what I'm talking about next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, live at Drift Bar in the Heights. Come on and hang out.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant.
On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, if you've never been to Drift before, this place rules. This is a regular pit stop when I come to 20th Street. It has been a little bit since I've been on 20th Street, but it's always fun to do a throwback kind of day and move up and down. And this place is, I think, one of the best spots in the town to watch sports. It's where the Southern Coast meets the True Texas Ice House. There's frozen drinks. There's a patio. 31 TVs outside. Two large outdoor screens. And 27 TVs inside. There's big sound. And if you like cats, at this time of day, when it's a little slow outside, there are cats on the patio. Oh, my gosh, they're so cute. Whatever, I'm a cat guy, guys. Don't hate. I like dogs, too. Cats are the best. And a wild cat, you're not concerned it's going to chop your head off. Wild dog. Got like little packs of those around H-Town all over the place. So, we are still not at the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks were able to stave off elimination against the Indiana Pacers last night. Indy stunk it up. New York won 111-94, so we'll see if they can force a Game 7. Knicks fans are getting rather cocky. Knicks in 7. Knicks in 7. Even up the series first, guys. I know you're new to this, you know, any success at all, but get to the actual Game 7 and start chanting it when you have the lead, okay? I'm skeptical that they will get that dub in Indiana, but we shall see. Whatever the case, it is time for another rousing edition of Around the NBA.
Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it! Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it!
So, there's a guy, and he's a columnist in Indianapolis named Greg Doyle. He used to write for CBS Sports. He's based in Indianapolis. I think he's always been based in Indianapolis, but I mean, he's one of those old school my column guys. He is able to insert himself into a story always. And he got into a weird back and forth, and I'm not even really 100% sure what he said. We tried to boost the levels as much as we could with Pascal Siakam after last night's game. Because Pascal Siakam said, hey, look, we played poorly. you have off nights like this. We got to, you know, get back up and take care of business in the next game. But tonight was not our night. And I don't know why, but Greg Doyle felt the need to go back and forth with Siakam over that.
How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How is it possible not fight hard enough in game?
What are you talking about? They played harder than us. It's okay. We played hard, but they played harder. What's your point? I don't get it.
My point is you're saying you guys got out fought, and I'm saying
that happens in a game, though. That's basketball.
In game 5,
you didn't make playoffs? You're good? You're good, bro? You're looking for something, I know, but damn. No, but I'm telling you, though. I told you. What else do you want me to tell you?
Well, what you tell me how? That's all I'm asking.
Well, what about you telling me? So go ahead. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? What's your name, bro? Oh.
A very awkward exchange. Doyle was asking the question, hey, how is it possible that you guys go out here and you don't play the hardest you possibly can? It's the playoffs. And there is, I think, a degree of fairness in that question. But to try and jump on it on Siakam, who's being honest there at the podium, and act like that's some sort of aha moment. How does this happen? I don't know. I think it's over the top. I don't think it's out of bounds. I think it's over the top. I mean, obvious take. In the playoffs, you should be playing like it is do or die, especially in the conference finals. That said, unless you are one of the top of the top, every now and then you're going to have an off day. Every now and then, I'm going to have an off show. You know, I'm willing to admit that. Sometimes you have it. Other days you don't. You get up the next day and you try to make up for it if you had a bad day the day before. So I like that Siakam gave that honest perspective there, because that's how it goes sometimes. They're up 3-1 on the Knicks. They're in Madison Square Garden. They came out flat, and the Knicks won. This happens a lot. They're expecting teams to go sweep, 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 sweep all the way to a 16-0 NBA playoffs run. I mean, you're crazy. That just doesn't happen. So a Pacers team that I believe, just based off of seeding, going into the series was the underdog, to have a game off where they play like that, totally understandable. Is it worth getting mad about it? Maybe getting nervous about it. Mad about it? I don't know about that. And this is the move for Doyle, though. Doyle will try and make himself the center of attention in press conferences, and he does it in a weird way. I mean, as someone who likes to ask awkward questions at press conferences, I always try to do it professionally for what it's worth. Doyle doesn't really do that. This is a moment that went viral for him. This is the last time, honestly, we probably talked about Doyle, where he was asking Caitlin Clark questions that were perceived as creepy.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Oh, my God. He was doing the heart hand emoji from the press conference area, and I think after that he was banned from all Indiana Fever game going forward. I mean, I don't necessarily think that he was doing that because he wanted to, you know, go on a date with her, to put it politely. But he's definitely trying to drum up attention for himself. And I mean, that's what a columnist is supposed to do. Hell, that's what a sports talk show host is supposed to do. And there have been times where I perhaps called attention to myself in a way that perhaps the higher-ups did not enjoy. But, I mean, that's part of it. Do I need to do more of this? Is that how I become the most successful sports talk show host I could be? Instead of focusing on having a fun, entertaining, light show, do I start trying to make myself the center of every single story? Like I'm Greg Doyle or like I'm Ryan Clark? I don't know. These are things I ask myself every single night as I go to sleep. So there you go. That's around the NBA. Yeah, we talked about Greg Doyle, an Indianapolis columnist. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. HTX Rhino asks, is this dude Paulie in 20 years? LOL. Damn. Damn. Could be. I hope not. But you never know. You never know if you don't go. Am I right now? I'm just quoting Smash Mouth here. Anyway, it is an Ask Lund Anything Friday. What other questions we have? You can chime in. Told you how to do it already on the text line or on YouTube, Twitch. Ask Paul, have you ever been caught in a love triangle? Oh. Okay, well, caught is a strong word. Caught is definitely a strong word. Did I find out I was in a love triangle? I did. And, by the way, no sour feelings on my end. No sour feelings on the end of the other folks as well. Because I don't think any of these situations were particularly serious. But, yes, the crazy thing is, these separate situations are people who are now, you know, the other two of the triangle, they're now married in both of these situations. Not an issue. Not a problem. Everyone's cool about it. Free love, baby. Free love. AJ is like, what the hell, bro? AJ's like, damn, that's messed up. Just being honest, people. It's an Ask Lund Anything Friday. Yeah, man. But no, I've not been caught in one. God, being caught in one in this state, you would die. You might get shot. So don't do that, guys. Something I learned, and these situations did not involve rings while they were happening. This was before those people got married. They were both single at the time. It was just people having fun. But it took me a while to look for rings. Young men out there, you got to start looking for the rings early on. I know a lot of guys don't. I used to find myself having that issue every now and then. There were a couple of bachelor parties I was on, and we were hanging out with bachelorettes, and I would strike up a conversation with a girl, and then I would notice like 30 minutes later, like, oh, damn, she has a ring. Not that there's anything wrong with talking with somebody who's married, you know, but it was one of those things where I thought I was flirting with the person, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not. I'm not at all. Whoops. Oh, well. That's life sometimes. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch, ESPN 975. Up next, as we continue to get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season with Texans in the midst of OTAs, there's something to be really excited about for the Texans. They're getting some respect. We gave you a battle red pill yesterday to expose you to the cold, sobering reality that the Texans are a 40-1 Super Bowl chance team, but you're going to be excited when you hear this on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, live at Drift Bar in the Heights. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.